All right. You're listening to Green Left Radio on Free CR 855 AM. So we are very happy to be joined today by May Saif, who is a Palestinian activist based in Melbourne, who plays a big role in organising the kind of weekly kind of protests. And, you know, being one of the most outspoken sort of Palestinian voices, you know, who's always been who's always been there on the front line. So good morning, May.
Good morning, Jacob. How are you?
Yeah, thanks. I'm good. We want to talk with you because obviously there's been obviously this big kind of announcement that's kind of being put forward in the Western kind of media, essentially kind of Trump's so-called kind of deal of the century. Basically, it's Trump's quote-unquote kind of plan to kind of bring peace to Gaza and to kind of genocide, which is what it's kind of been sold as. And I guess I want to kind of hear your kind of comments on this so-called quote-unquote peace plan. And obviously I put it in quotes because everything that we've kind of read about this plan indicates that it is not good at all for Palestinian self-determination, and it's actually a very terrible deal that is kind of being put forward to the kind of Palestinians. So I guess I want to kind of hear your kind of comments.
Yeah, it's funny that we're calling it the deal of the century, like we're a backwater real estate agent or like a communist car salesman. I think it's safe to say that it has nothing to do with Palestinian self-determination or ideas of identity or what our aspirations are. This is more of an example of land grabbing and sidelining Palestinian voices, whether it's in the conversation or a narrative or just simply seizing our land further by trying to sell us some big story. I don't think there is one Palestinian would take this offer seriously, supposedly. You know, we had the experiences of the Oslo Accord that, instead of bringing peace, brought forth their further entrenchment and theft of Palestinian land, a system of apartheid, and the mass incarceration and oppression of Palestinian people. We're very familiar when the West try to offer us deals. They're never in good faith, and I wouldn't expect it from Trump either. But it is interesting, the title and the language that's being used to sell this to us.
Yeah, and I guess probably one of the other comments to kind of add as well is, I mean, I guess one of the more tragic kind of contexts in which this kind of deal is being pushed onto the Palestinians, especially in Gaza, is that obviously, we're going through 2 years of a very kind of terrible genocide that has been unleashed on the Palestinians, and there's kind of like no sign of it kind of stopping. And I guess, I want to kind of hear your comments about it. I guess one of the kind of terrible things that's obviously been kind of, that's obviously in the context of this deal is that there's obviously going to be a lot of pressure on the Palestinians to accept this. And of course, Palestinians in Gaza will feel the need that they have to accept it to see an end to the killing. But I guess, I mean, one of the biggest problems I see with this deal is there's actually no guarantees in this deal that Israel will actually stop its genocide. And in fact, actually, a lot of the conditions of the deal essentially mean that the Palestinians actually give up things.
I'd like to highlight the point that America is funding this genocide. It is wholly complicit in this genocide. And while they're killing innocent civilians, completely razing Gaza to the ground, making life completely unsustainable, forcing people into mass displacement time and time again, they've made it life completely untenable. America has been hand in hand with Israel in this genocide. And of course, they're not going to be offer any guarantees for Palestinian life or the end of the genocide. They're funding it. They're part of that machine. They are that machine. So I think it's quite interesting that we have these offers put to us, but it's been consistently the case where the expectation is on Palestinians to compromise their homes, their land, their dignity. Yet there has been no measures put to the Israeli state. They are that power in the region. They are funded and backed by the American government and elite. And no question has been asked around what Israel is going to do. When are they going to stop this genocide? When is America going to stop funding them? When are they going to be tried as war criminals? No questions, no compromises, no pressure at all has been put to the Israelis at any point. And this has been a long history that Palestinians have had to deal with, where the question is, we must compromise everything and they must take everything from us. Yeah. This just is in the same vein of what we've faced in the last 40, 50, 60 years. Except it's even more morbid because we're experiencing a genocide and the very sanctity of Palestinian life is not even a question. We're completely dehumanized in this equation.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think one of the most horrible kind of dehumanizations that I think is sort of part of this kind of deal is, and it's, and I think one of the interesting things is we are seeing more mainstream figures actually point out the kind of double standard in this, like people like Chris Sidoti, who I just watched a bit of a clip of his press club that he did recently. And I guess one of the kind of points that he kind of points out, now I don't agree completely with his sort of formulation around this, but of course one of the terrible sort of the kind of impositions as that's been put on this deal is that it's very much essentially demanding that Hamas, which is very much in some sense the recognized Palestinian sort of resistance group in Gaza, to essentially demilitarize and lay down all its arms. But as has been kind of pointed out by people like Chris Sidoti, why isn't this same standard being applied to Israel? Why isn't Israel being asked to demilitarize, to lay down its arms? Because it's been clearly being shown for the past 2 years, or even since the occupation, that it has no decency or no moral high ground to stand on when it comes to having arms. I want to kind of hear your comments about this kind of ridiculous sort of double standard that's been imposed on the Palestinians.
Really important to understand the way the Israeli state has funded Hamas. You know, Netanyahu is on record of talking about funding and destabilizing the Palestinian narrative, or I guess representation, in propping up Hamas to ensure that they don't have to speak to the PLO, because they don't want to see a Palestinian state. They want to see a complete continuation of the Greater Israel Project and the apartheid regime dominating over Palestinians. I think it's really interesting that we actually need to understand that dynamic. Israel does not want two states. Israel does not want one state with Palestinians. They want Palestinians out. They want them either dead or out. They don't want them in their own ancestral home. And the Israeli state, Netanyahu and his cabinet have been very vocal about this. This is not something that is wild. This is on public record. And so using Hamas as, I think, a political guinea pig, to be frank, Palestinians have lots of different types of political representation, yet we're focusing on Hamas because Hamas is the boogeyman for Israel. Rather than the reality is that Israel is the militarily dominating power in the region. They control everything. They know exactly how many people, where they live. Palestinians are the most, monitored of any population in the world. They know exactly where we are. They know exactly where we live. They know exactly how much we eat. We're under constant surveillance. So nothing happens without Israel really knowing. And the question will be is, why are we not having genuine conversations around peace? And why are we not having Israel held to account for its violence? But I'd love to know, you know, when the Americans and the Western powers are going to say that this is enough, that this is not in our political economic interest to fund such a ethno-supremacist, violent, genocidal state. Because, you know, Israel has shown its underbelly, and the Western powers are very happy to continue along with it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I guess the kind of next and last question I kind of wanted to ask is, you know, May, from like a Palestinian perspective, you know, what would actually real peace and justice look like in the face of this kind of genocide? And what would actually a real plan based on, you know, Palestinian self-determination actually kind of look like in contrast to what has been imposed? I mean, one of the most outrageous things that's coming out of this plan is the fact that it's that Tony Blair is being appointed as basically going to be the he's basically going to be the head of actually implementing this plan, and as also one of the third party that's meant to guarantee that this plan, so-called quote-unquote peace plan, being implemented. You know, the same Tony Blair that's directly responsible for, you know, the thousands of lives lost in Iraq as a result of the war in Iraq that he openly supported and armed.
Well, I think it's quite telling. They've got Tony Blair, one of the war criminals of our century, I'm going to say, inflicting murdering over 500,000 Iraqis in an unjustified war. But, you know, for Palestinians, it's very simple. We believe in human rights. We believe in equality. We generally believe in, you know, the values of, you know, even though the Israel state is the first state in history to be created by the United Nations, it's not a natural state. It was created by powers and supplanted into our homeland. You know, we actually genuinely believe in equality and for everyone. And so it would actually require people's own dehumanization and racist narrative to start looking at Palestinians as human beings, that we can start talking about how do we create an idea for a state where everyone is equal. I don't think, you know, speak to most Palestinians and what they care about is living a life of peace without the threat of violence and persecution. So the very basis of seems to be a hard thing for most Western powers and those in power to understand, viewing another person as a human being with equality, having Palestinians actually talk about what they want. And so in this instance, quite a lot of Palestinians are very happy to live in equality with those, not under the current Israeli regime or state, but a complete dismantling of it where everyone can live there in peace and equality. The right of return. There are millions of Palestinians around the world who've been denied, you know, their homeland. The territories that are actually going to be essential to what Palestinians believe and think. You know, Palestinians also have a right to resist against oppression. And so the question will be, if we do genuinely value international law, the actual fair application of it, I would say the trial at The Hague of war criminals, regardless of who that war criminal is, if you've committed a war crime, you need to be, you know, held to account for it. There's lots of things that we can do that actually fits within our current structures, you know, and values that we talk about in the West, yet we fail to actually uphold them. They seem to be mouthpieces to appear like we're doing something, but really it does not apply for Palestinians. So there's a few things actually we can do. Palestinians, I will say, and if you've heard of any of us who speak in the public space, you know, we are the victims of this oppression. We did not, you know, create it. It was brought upon us. And so, you know, the West and the media has always played a narrative of, you know, presenting us as barbarians. Maybe let's have some truthful, some very truthful representation within the media. There needs to be an accounting for the complicity of the West. But at the very least, let's talk about genuine peace. And that means equality for everyone. Sorry, I do have quite a lot of thoughts on this.
Oh, yeah, well, thanks, May, for that. I mean, I guess the last thing just to sort of add is, you know, just encouraging listeners why it's kind of important to attend the upcoming Palestine Solidarity protests coming up.
Yes, we have a national protest on the 12th of October. It will be held in every major city, from Naam to Gadigal to all around, even some regional towns as well. And it's in the same vein that we had on 24th of October. This is the 12th of October, really, is to be honest, talk about, present the 2 years of genocide that has occurred and the hopes of the Palestinian people and its supporters for an end to this mindless genocide, and a call for a ceasefire and a call for immediate sanctions on the state of Israel. This protest, particularly on the 12th of October at 12 p.m. State Library, for those of you in Naam, we're calling for sanctions. We're asking the Australian state to actually implement sanctions against the Israeli state. It's about time. We've been calling for sanctions for almost 2 years now, actively at every process, at every press, you know, statement we've released. It's time that the Australian state actually did something. And that means expelling the Israeli ambassador and applying immediate economic sanctions, our political sanctions, and military sanctions on the state of Israel.
All right. Well, thank you very much, May. And yeah, just I think the protest I think is going to be really important to attend. So yeah, thanks. Thanks again, May.
I will say there has been a lot of public support for it. And I don't know if people are looking in the streets of Melbourne, but we've had thousands of posters and flyers. I see them in different areas of suburbs of Melbourne. I think there's huge community support. I think it's really important to understand that the support that we have for Palestine, it's not just on the outskirts of our society. It is every single regular people who come out supporting Palestine, and that's who we see at our protests.
All right. Thanks again, Nay, for being on our program, and thanks again for this great interview.
Thank you, Jacob. Thank you for inviting me.